Good morning. This is WCNC Charlotte To Go. Here are your top stories.
Well, it's been 1 week since the latest stabbing on the light rail, and this morning there is some mounting criticism from federal officials.
It comes as the FBI and U.S. Attorney's Office announced the suspect in that stabbing is now facing two federal charges. WCNC Charlotte's Richard Devane is live this morning and Noda is sharing this, what those officials are calling for in regards to safety. Richard.
Yeah, good morning to you, Lisa. Good morning, Autumn. Good Friday morning, everyone. And Autumn, what you said was really scary. You said another stabbing. And that has federal officials saying that Charlotte, as far as safety, especially here on the light rail, is out of control. That's part of what they talked about yesterday as we look at video when they held that press conference, talking, that news conference, I should say, talking about the situation all aboard the light rail. In less than 4 months, FBI and U.S. Attorney's Office say that those violent attacks have happened, and now they're announcing those new charges for that suspect accused in last week's attack. 33-year-old Oscar Solozado Garcia is now facing two federal charges, including violence on a mass transportation system. He's accused of stabbing a passenger on board the light rail in Noda. He faces the same federal charges as DeCarlos Brown. That is the man you may remember accused of stabbing and killing passenger Irina Zuruska in August. Brown made his first federal court appearance recently. The federal officials released surveillance images showing Solozado Garcia, holding a knife before they say he stabbed the victim. That Garcia appeared to be intoxicated or was causing problems on the train before the confrontation, they also said. Authorities also confirming that Garcia, who was from Honduras, has been deported twice and is now accused of illegally reentering the U.S.
Mr. Solozado Garcia got on, allegedly inebriated, causing trouble, causing a ruckus for everyone on the train. This victim, we allege, stood up to him and ended up stabbed. But if security had been on the train, they could have kicked him off before it rose to that level.
And Garcia, if convicted, could be sentenced to life in prison. We're right here in Noda. This is Richard Devane. We'll send it back to you.
Thanks, Richard. And just hours after that, Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary McFadden responding to the announcement from federal leaders. He sent us a very lengthy statement. It says in part, quote, "If deporting Solorzano twice did not work, then blame for this broken system belongs where it should. Of DHS, ICE, and their continued reliance on a process that has repeatedly failed," end quote.
This morning, the man stabbed on the light rail last week remains in jail with a $2 million bond. This is in a separate case. Kenny Ndobi is facing several domestic violence-related charges, including assault on a pregnant woman. He was reportedly dating the woman. Ndobi had his first court appearance yesterday. Court officials say he hit the woman, knocking her unconscious. Advocates say this case highlights a much bigger concern.
A $2 million bond on domestic violence is very rare. And I think this happened because of the notoriety of the person, because of its connection to another public incident.
Ndobi is also facing charges for threatening to kill the woman and her children. His next court appearance is scheduled for December 23rd.
Time now, 5:07. As of this morning, a GoFundMe page for Ndobi's medical bills remains active. So far, more than $115,000 has been donated by more than 2,000 people.
And now that he is facing his own assault charges, some are wondering if that money can be used for bail or if people can get their money back if they'd like to. WCNC Charlotte's Megan Bragg verifies.
We went straight to GoFundMe for answers to the top questions people may have when it comes to this. First, what are the requirements to receive the money from a fundraiser? The person receiving funds must be over 18 years of age, have a government-issued photo ID, and have a bank account. Ndobi created his fundraiser himself and says money will go towards his, quote, trauma and pain after being stabbed on the Blue Line. During Ndobi's court appearance today for his own assault charges, his GoFundMe was the reason prosecutors asked for either a high bond or no bond at all. However, the defense argued that money is intended for medical expenses. According to GoFundMe, using the money for a different reason than what the fundraiser was set up for violates their terms of service. So Dobie can't use it for bond. If he did, it could result in the removal of the campaign, possible civil or criminal consequences, being banned from the platform, and or refunds to donors. If anyone ever has a concern with a fundraiser, they can make a request that it be looked at, and GoFundMe's trust and safety team will review it. If a donor would like to request a refund, there is a form they can fill out on GoFundMe.
Thank you, Megan. Well, overnight, some new information from the Stanley County Sheriff's Office reveals the now former co-owner of Sycamore Brewing, Justin Brigham, was found naked near the home of the 13-year-old girl he's accused of raping.
Deputies say they received a 911 call from the girl's parents in Stanfield saying they found a man they didn't know in their daughter's bedroom. When deputies arrived, they say they found a man who was later identified as Brigham, completely undressed in a nearby vehicle. They arrested him immediately. He is charged with first-degree burglary, statutory rape of a child by an adult, and indecent liberties with the child. He is now being held with a $10 million bond.
Now, not long after this news broke, his wife and Sycamore's co-owner posted on Instagram saying, "To our employees, customers, and partners, I'm devastated by the charges against Justin and the pain this has inflicted on our family and others. Effective immediately, I'm assuming full leadership of the company. Justin is divesting all of his interests and will have no further involvement." As we speak, detectives are still actively investigating a death on Charlotte's west side. Police say the person was found on Sanders Avenue near Beatty's Ford Road. We know that a car at the scene matches the description of Freja Baker's car. Baker is the Charlotte mother who has been missing since last week. As of now, police have not confirmed that the victim is Baker. Neighbors who told us they believe it was her say they were shocked by this discovery.
It's the most horrific thing you could hear. As just being in the community, not even, you know, I'm sure the family is going, you know, emotional in this sense, because to hear that your family member has been found in a car, that's truly sad.
Police say the victim was pronounced dead at the scene and the cause of death is undetermined at this time. This morning, the 15-year-old suspect in last month's shooting at the Concord Christmas tree lighting ceremony is out of the hospital and now officially facing charges. Concord police tell us they filed petitions to the Department of Juvenile Justice for assault with a deadly weapon, among other charges. Police tell us the teen is one of three people now charged in the shooting, including 17-year-old Kevion Bostic and 18-year-old Nazir Bostic.
It is time to connect the dots. That's when we make the news. It makes sense. Millions of Americans rely on sunscreen every day, but we may not be getting the same protection as people in other countries. A new ingredient under the FDA review could change that.
A new sunscreen ingredient could soon change the way Americans protect their skin. Let's connect the dots. The specific chemical compound is a broad-spectrum UV filter, meaning it helps block both the sun's burning UVB rays and its deeper penetrating UVA rays. It's highly photostable, so it doesn't break down easily in the sun, and it can even help other sunscreen ingredients stay effective longer. Right now, it's not allowed in sunscreens sold in the U.S., even though it's been safely used in Europe, Asia, and Australia for more than 20 years. The reason it's not in U.S. sunscreens is because the FDA tightly regulates sunscreen filters and hasn't approved a new one in more than two decades. If the FDA agrees that it's generally recognized as safe and effective, it could be added to U.S. products as early as next year. Dermatologists and sunscreen makers say this could mean stronger, longer-lasting protection, especially against UVA rays that are linked to skin aging and cancer. Until that happens, Americans still have to rely on the ingredients currently approved, which doctors say still help but don't always match the performance of some international formulas. And that's connecting the dots. Here's what's happening across the Carolinas. An investigation is underway after threats were made against a church in Highlands, North Carolina. Police say someone called 911 claiming they had a bomb and reported the threat towards staff members of Highlands Episcopal Church. The church was placed on lockdown and a daycare was evacuated until that scene was eventually cleared.
A dozen students were taken to the hospital after a school bus accident in Sumter County, South Carolina. South Carolina Highway Patrol said that bus was heading south on St. Paul's Church Road when it was hit by an SUV. 12 of the 20 children on the bus and the driver of the SUV were taken to the hospital with minor injuries. Robeson Community College is celebrating a historic $24 million gift from philanthropist Mackenzie Scott, the largest donation in its 60-year history. The college serves nearly 10,000 students in Lumberton, many of them first-generation or adult learners. College leaders say the investment will help expand programs, boost opportunities, and support one of North Carolina's most resilient rural communities. And that's what's happening across the Carolinas.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. Dealing with more clouds today. Slight chance for a sprinkle this morning. Then by the afternoon, more sunshine. High temperatures right around 50 degrees. Overnight tonight, we're dropping down to freezing to kick off your Saturday. Saturday is my pick of the week and of the weekend. High temperature right around 60 degrees with sunshine across the board. Sunday, things change up big time. We start in the 40s and near freezing, feeling as cold as 10 to 20 degrees during your Sunday evening. I'm meteorologist Chris Mulcahy with WCNC Charlotte.
Thanks for listening. You can find these stories and more at WCNC.com. And join the WCNC Charlotte team weekday mornings 4:30 to 7 a.m. Like and subscribe to our podcast and tell a friend.